I was thinking this past week, I only have one thing to talk about, and that's, who Jesus is in us. And I really can't leave that theme, but my hope today is that every person walks out of here fully understanding who Jesus is in them. And it takes that understanding to live out your life. I talk to people all the time, and people like to talk about issues and problems and all those sorts of things. People like to talk about what's wrong. Christians should always be talking about what's right. If I'm Bruce's dad and Jesus lives in me, everything's right. So there isn't much more to talk about than what's right. And I think so often we struggle with things because our focus is just on what's wrong, and then we get in the muck and the mire of what's wrong. So I want to talk about what's right. And the title of the message today is Who Are You? And I was told last time I don't talk long enough. They have practice that they're trying to get through, and I didn't give them enough time, so I'm going to purpose to give them enough time so they can get through the things they want to do. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for now. We're not guaranteed another second, and the past is the past. But right now, we can be in your presence together, and there's nothing more awesome than that. So, in your presence, I just ask that you would speak and give us revelation of what you've done and what you're doing and what you will do in each and every one of us and in this collective body, and I thank you for that. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So who are we? Why are we here? Now, previously, the church I grew up in was called Lakeshore Tabernacle. And I know it was named something before me, but I'm only going to deal with my reality. It was Lakeshore Tabernacle that I was born into, and eventually we changed the name to The Encounter. But there was a statement that said, Lakeshore Tabernacle, now The Encounter, is a tabernacle of the manifest presence of God. So as a collective body, I want you to understand why you are here and who you are. So I'm talking corporately at the moment. Bill Johnson, in Hosting the Presence, a book of his, learning to host the presence of God is the biggest challenge of the Christian life. Somewhere in history, the focus of our gathering, this, became the sermon. Israel camped around the presence, while the church has camped around the sermon. Or the sermon giver. It's been said of the early church that 95% of their activities would have stopped had the Holy Spirit been removed from them. But is it also stated that 95% of the modern church's activities would continue as normal because there is no recognition of his presence? Being presence-centered must be put on the front burner again. Living conscious of his presence with us is one of the most important, most essential parts to this life. So what am I saying? I'm saying our statement is we are a place or tabernacle of his manifest presence. When you come to this place, when you step foot into our meetings, it should be about one thing, encountering him. Why? So you can be an encounter everywhere you go. Psalms 22:3, he inhabits our praises. Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered, he is there. Psalms 100:4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Psalm 16:11, you will show the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We had a guest speaker back back a while ago, and this is going back a while, that said this. His name was Scott Goodwill. We don't have to pray or read our Bible. We pray and read because we love him. We do because of who we are. Again, I want you to understand who we are and why we're here. We don't do to become something. We do because we are something. We worship how we worship because we're a presence-centered people. And in his presence is fullness of joy. We get excited in worship because his presence is here. And as we recognize and behold him, we get more excited. Tabernacle is a dwelling, a home, or a place to abide. Manifest is appearing, showing up, to be made known, to make apparent. Worship should be an exciting thing if he's present. How do I know when he's present? Because of our response. What's it look like? Chaos. No, really. It looks like chaos. Why? Because we all respond differently. Some people will fall out. Some people will cry. Some people will rejoice. Some people will spin around. Some people will run. Some people will shout. Some people will dance. Some people, that's who we are. You know what it doesn't look like? It's all sitting on our butts doing nothing. That's what it doesn't look like. How do I know? Because when I walk in the door and my grandkids see me, there's a response. How much more when I walk in the door and I encounter the presence of God that I should respond? How dare we come here and not respond to his presence? You're coming for the wrong purpose. You don't know who you are. That's an encouragement. We, the encounter, are a place where God makes himself known. When we gather, it should be evident that God is here. That's who we are. That's why we're here. Now I'm going to break it down on more of an individual basis. And this is really the guts of what I want to talk about. Long time ago, a book was written by Leif Hetland, Seeing Through Heaven's Eyes. And I think that one of the biggest struggles in the church is this crisis of identity, because we continue to see through eyes that are no longer living. We see through worldly eyes, we see through dead eyes, and we need to see how God sees things. And because of it, because of this seen from the wrong perspective, we have a lot of the issues that we have in the church. And most of them are worldly issues. And so many things have been done. There's been preaching on sin and preaching on this and preaching on that and all that, and nothing changes. And nothing changes because people don't know who they are. So they don't align with who they are. And their behavior doesn't fall in line. You can't fix behavior. You got to fix who someone is. Say, where are you getting that? Jesus said, you must be born again. What did he do? He came and wiped out your identity, gave you something totally new. That's what he did. You don't think there's a crisis of identity? Jesus said, fine, you no longer exist now. I exist in you. Boom, you came to life. Who dwells? He does. New identity. This is a big deal. When you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror, you should see Jesus. You should see his presence. You should align with what God wants to do in your life, and you watch what he'll do in it. Psalms 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? Who am I? Why am I here? It's the age-old question of man. We have mass suicides in the nations of the world because people don't realize who they are and why they're here. And they feel unfulfilled because they identify with the wrong things. And it leads down to a path of death and destruction. There's a crisis of identity. There's a crisis of alignment. There's a crisis of assignment. Continuing on, verse 5. You made him a little lower than God, the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What is man? Who am I? A little lower than God. Crowned with his glory and his majesty. Ruler over his works. Who do you see yourself as? See, you have the opportunity every day to be God or let him be God. I'll know your choice by your answer to who are you? Because if you start describing yourself in manners that doesn't line up with God's word, you've made yourself God. If you look in the mirror and say, I'm worthless, you've made yourself God. I'm the most valuable human being there is on this planet. Why? Because he says so. End of story. You can criticize, complain about me all you want. I'm the most awesome human being on the face of this planet. Why? Because he said so. He made me. Who might argue? Talk to the hand, complain to him. Amen. Who's God? I'm not. He is. He's made me a little lower. No problem there. He's crowned me with his glory and majesty. Why? Because I had none. And I have none. So I wear his robes, and he declares me righteous. He's made me ruler over his works. We have a job to do, people. And it starts with identifying with who we are. If we don't identify with who we are, we're going to pick the wrong assignment. Genesis 1:26. We read this passage a lot. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created you. Male and female, he created them. God blessed you and said to you, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. See, our identity, our alignment has to be towards the image of God. And our assignment when we take on our alignment is to rule over his creation. What does that look like? serving, sacrificing your life for the sake of his creation? How do I know? Because that's what Jesus did. Genesis 3:4. We know the story, the Garden of Eden. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Wrong alignment because of wrong identity. Aligned with the serpent. Wrong assignment. Now knowing good and evil. Loss of identity as a child of God. Galatians 4:4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child of God. And since you are a child of God, God has made you also an heir with Jesus. Do you know who you are? You're a child of God. Your assignment is to show forth God, encounter his presence, spread it everywhere. If you don't know you're a child of God, you aren't going to react like my grandchildren react when I walk into the room. If you did, you'd run to God, be so excited to be in his lap, and then he says, let's go do this, and you say, yeah, and then you run off and leave him. Because that's what kids do. And they have a blast, and then they come back. Did you see that? That's who we are. This is the most fun you should ever have in life. Being in his presence. Fullness of joy. But you have to align correctly. You have to know, I'm a child of God. Not that, oops, I did this or I did that. Get over yourself. You're not God. He is. We halt our own walk with the Lord because we look at ourselves when we should only be seeing him. You have no identity outside of him. You were crucified. Now, I say some things strong once in a while. But I don't want to be mistook or have something misapplied. There are things in life that will challenge you. There's things in life that will put emotional strain on you. There's things in life that will put mental strain on you. Guess what? He's given us all sorts of resources. One of them is one another to lean on. Okay? The message, get over yourself or get over it, you know, is very specific to what I'm saying. I'm not saying you don't need help. I am saying he is your help, or your brother and sister is your help. So if you need somebody to come alongside you to walk through things with you, great. But he has given you authority to not pick up those things he set you free from. Get over it. Walk free. If you need help, get help. We're all here to help each other walk free. You are not alone in this life. So don't apply something I say incorrectly. Apply what I say to bring yourself freedom, because that's what Jesus did. It's for freedom he set you free. You are delivered, you're set free. Walk free. Okay. See, after the fall of man, everything changed except one thing. Adam and Eve's position. See, what do you mean? Luke 3. Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so was thought, of Joseph. And it continues on. We get to verse 38. The son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Who is Adam? What? Say it louder. Didn't change his position. His fall did not change his position. Changed his relationship because he led it. Who was he? He was the son of God. If he identified with being the son of God, he would have acted like the son of God. God was still father. Adam still son, and Eve still daughter. Sin did not change their identity. There's a story in the Bible we've spoke on several times from several different perspectives called the prodigal son. Everyone familiar with it? Okay. Two sons. One wants his inheritance, runs off, squanders everything, decides eating the pig slop isn't the best thing to do because I could be a slave in my father's house, right? It'd be better than this. Then you have the other brother that stays at home and does what he does. In the end, the prodigal son comes back and the father immediately identifies him and reestablishes who he was. See, the father hadn't changed. How do you know, how many, you got to know this. The only thing that matters in this life is our father hasn't changed. We do. Our thoughts and perspectives and all those things change. You know, so the son wants to come back as a slave, and the father says, you're my son. And the other son complains that he throws a party for his son, and he's just doing something he could do for the son, and he's like, dude. I say that because that's what my son-in-law likes to call me, dude. Term of endearment. It's like, son, didn't you know you could have always done this? Everything I have was always at your disposal. Why? Because you were always my son. But he didn't know he was my son. Truth is, neither did he. Neither one aligned with who they were. So neither one of them were doing what they should be doing. One was lost. Or one lost who he was, the other thought he had to perform to get what was already his. Truth was, all they had to do was identify with the Father. Luke 15:31. My son, the Father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Who are you? You understand the resources at our disposal if we'll just simply identify with the Father. I was so not doing this. Last night I come home, grandchild's sick, and you know, my daughter's saying he's fussing, and there's a spike in temperature. Now, this is so wrong identity speaking, okay? So what do I do? The thing everybody would say is, give him some medicine. They'll take care of it. And I'm not saying don't give him medicine. I'm saying proper response would have been, I'm a child of God. Fever, you have no right to be in my grandson, let alone my home. Why? Because he's given me authority over this space. Now, it's fine if you give somebody medicine. I'm all for our medical field. I'm all for the skills and abilities and the knowledge and everything that God's given us. Use them for his glory. Awesome. But there comes a time you got to stand and say, no, this is my land, heaven. I'm the ambassador. You're not allowed here. It's real simple. Why? Because I rule. Why? Because he's crowned me with his glory and majesty. That's the truth of it. I didn't do anything but get crowned. But if I don't identify that, I just say, give him some medicine. And we do this all the time through our lives because we simply don't align with the Father. Our position, not our performance, establishes our identity. And entitles us to our inheritance. I want to read that again. Our position, not our performance, establishes our identity and entitles us to our inheritance. It's about time we live in our inheritance. Who are you? Why are you here? Everybody remember the passage in scripture that Paul's talking about doing what you don't want to do and wanting to do and not doing that, and right? Wretched man that I am. Yeah, everybody's in agreement with that. Wretched man that I am. And he gets to a point that's pretty cool. He says, but thank God for Jesus. That's my paraphrase. It's really what he says. He has his whole diatribe, right? Says all this, but forget all that, because Jesus came on the scene. So we're talking about this crisis of identity. And I want to say this, forget all that. Why? Because Jesus has come on the scene. Jesus fixes everything. He restored our identity. He reestablished our destiny. He has brought us back into alignment, and he has reconfirmed our assignment. Nothing has been lost. Simply align with the Father. John 5, verse 19 says, Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son, proper identity, can do nothing by himself, proper assignment. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. If he doesn't identify his Son, he's not going to see what Dad's doing. He's going to go off and do the wrong thing. That's how most of us live our lives. I don't say that to belittle us. I'm just telling you, most of what we deal with, we try to deal with in our own strength. Because we don't align with God. See, I walked into the room. I didn't align with what the Father wanted to be happen. So I just said, do this. I'm not saying I was wrong. Could have been great advice. Just wasn't God's. The world needs us to bring God's counsel to them, not our own. So I thought of a couple verses. I'm wrapping this up. So you could get a perspective of your identity, child of God, and what that means. And there's lots of verses to go on. I'll only pick two. Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth." I was thinking, okay, that's great. I could go into a whole part about what salt does or doesn't. I'm not going to do that. I'll say this, though. It preserves. It purifies. And it enhances. Okay. Next verse, verse 14. "You are the light of the world." What does light do? It gives vision. How do you know? Go in a dark room and turn on a light. All of a sudden you see. It exposes, but it also guides. It'll light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path, right? Now, why did I say these? Well, these are things God has said you are as his sons. I'm going to tell you, these are the things that are your assignment. If I align with God as son, as child of God, my assignment is to be this to the world. To preserve, purify, and enhance. That's my task. It's always going to be one of those things. As salt, I'm going to do one of those things. Someone needs encouragement, I'm to preserve who they are. I'm going to speak into it. I'm going to enhance their vision so they can see it. You're going to let them know you're holy because he's made you holy. Your salt purifies. Go into a situation, my assignment is to bring light into darkness. Sometimes as Christians, we're just seeing the wrong things. We look in the mirror and we see the problem. Truth, expose it, is that's a lie. Because there are no problems in the kingdom of God. I'm a child of God. I don't have problems. I have opportunities to bring God into life circumstances. If I am seated with God in heavenly places right now, I don't have any problems. I have earth stuff that I have to deal with because I'm here too. Thing is, I don't know how to deal with him in the best way. He does. So who am I going to identify with? Who are you? Why are you here? See, here's the point of the whole thing that I hope you walk away with, is that you matter. And if you didn't, he'd just take you home. I'm talking to every single person here or anybody that's listening. You matter. See, you are God's crowning achievement. You're his masterpiece. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. You were also purposefully made. You are here for a reason. To bear God's image. And to establish his heavenly kingdom here on earth. You are a co-creator with him, co-ruler with him, co-lover with him. He has picked you to expand the boundaries of his kingdom. In this vast and expansive universe, you matter. You. 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 You matter. So everybody stand with me. I want you to repeat after me. Say, I am loved beyond comprehension. I am precious beyond words. I am valued beyond measure. That's who I am. Heavenly Father, reveal yourself to your people and who you are in them, so they will always align with you through life circumstances and bring you into it, so your glory and majesty will be made known throughout the earth. I thank you for your people. May your favor and blessing rest upon them today. May they just bask in your presence. Fullness of joy, I release it in them in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.